Our 10-minute speaker is James M. from San Diego.
I'm a little nervous here, but
anyway, my name is James M., and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, James.
Hey, James.
I got 8 cards here, and I got 10 minutes, so there's a problem to start right off. Okay, I was born in Durham, North Carolina, just a few years ago, like 66. I think my birth certificate's wrong. I'm only 46. And emotionally, I'm probably 18. But that's all right. That's just me. I can't, I want to thank Sue, for 4 years. Congratulations. I'd like to thank Larry for giving me an opportunity to share, and the people working on 30 days. You're the most important person or people in this room. And it reminds me one more time that it still doesn't work. I can't get anybody in this room sober. In the beginning, for a long time, I couldn't get myself sober. It took a lot of time. I've been in and out of these rooms for 26 years. If I'm lucky, and I feel pretty comfortable today, August 18th, I'll have 9 years. All right, down to the cards. I got six and a half minutes, and I got 8 cards. Like I said, I was born in Durham, North Carolina. First 5 years of my life, I was with my biological mother and father. And when I was 5, my mother put the 3 of us boys, or 4 of us, in an orphanage. Unfortunately, I've tried many, many years. Those 10 years are blank. I don't remember anything. I don't remember my mother and father. I don't remember five years in an orphanage. These are all things I drank over. In 1955, when I was adopted, my brother found me. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, in 1955, I found out, my brother did the research, that our father, our biological father, committed suicide because he wanted the boys to be raised together. Unfortunately, there are 4 boys, and we spent 72 hours together in almost 67 years. I drank over that. I'm obviously not going to get through all this. My adoptive parents did the best they could. You know, they everybody wanted a child, infant, a couple months old. And I was almost 10. My other brother was almost 9. And I used to joke with him. I said the reason it took 5 years in the orphanage because he had one arm and he was blind. But that's a joke. You're supposed to laugh. You know, I shouldn't make light of it. You know, my brother lives here in La Mesa also. We both live in La Mesa. I've been married 3 times, 3 divorces, and a majority of those reasons were because of my drinking and my, they use a word a lot called incompatibility. That sucks. Like I said, I've been married 3 times. For the women in the room, don't look too hard. I'm not looking for number 4. So when I did come, oh, I'm almost on page 2. When I did, where's the minute man so I know how much time I got left? I'm all right? Okay. Like I said, my parents did the best they could. I don't ever remember my parents from 10 to 18 when I left home ever holding hands. Man, there's something wrong with that generation. I think that was the generation that they grew up, their parents didn't publicly show affection and love and caring. And I graduated from high school in 1964. 3 days out of high school, I joined the Marine Corps. I wanted to get away from home. When I was at home during those 8 years, I isolated a lot. I didn't trust anybody. I spent a lot of time in my bedroom, and I had very few friends. I think that those are byproducts of my first 10 years. Something happened. And I don't want to dwell on all this, but these are some of the reasons I drank over. Like I said, I graduated in 64. I was 19 years old in boot camp. When I was 19, I was in Vietnam, July, Vietnam, 1965. Sometimes I jokingly call it the Marine Corps USMC, Uncle Sam's Misguided Children. I was very immature, and I didn't cause a ruckus. I remember when I was a kid also, I used to have to answer the phone, Captain Mousehart's resident, this is James, can I help you? That's how regimented it was at the house. In 65 July, I got paralyzed. We were working on swimming asphalt drums ashore for the 5 minutes. Whoa. There's only 6 pages left. I got paralyzed. I tried to get a medical discharge and they turned me down. Geez, I'm going to have to skip to today, what it's like today in a minute. I got two now? Oh, good, good, good. Let's pretend I don't have as much time as I want. But, you know, there's a group called the Great Pretenders. And sometimes I use humor too much. It's okay to laugh, but it's not okay to use it to cover up serious situations. You know, when it gets that bad, you need help. I need help. All right. I came back to Oakland, California. They turned me down for a medical discharge. While I was in Okinawa, where they did the surgery for my paralysis, I used to go up to the balcony up on the top floor. There was a helicopter pad. And one particular time I went up there, a couple of guys from my company came in. They were missing arms and legs. They told me that 3/4 of our company were killed in 1965 during Operation Starlight. I should have been there. You know, that's what they call sometimes survivor's guilt. All right, so real forward here. I'm on page 3. You know, about 4 months prior to my first 4 years, they came in with looking for volunteers to go to Vietnam. I was stressed out so much, I wanted to go back and kill, because they killed a lot of my friends. I signed up to go back to Vietnam in 1968 during the Tet Offensive. I was in a foxhole in Hue, and some people say it's one of the worst battles of total Vietnam. Anyway, May 5th and May 6th at night, I was on a listening post. We were overrun. We should have been killed. It's got to be a God thing. In the morning, what happened in this next part, I don't like talking about it, but I guess how much time we got left? 3? All right, I'm losing my train of thought. Anyway, this here, I don't want to offend anybody, but the next morning after we were overrun, I was on a listening post, so the groups ran between us and the other Marines, and we let 3 prisoners in. Somebody hollered, "Firing squad up." I jumped in line and shot the man on automatic fire. I was charged with murder and manslaughter. I got a dishonorable discharge. Anyway, I could go on and on. Alcoholics Anonymous to me is very powerful. I try to work the steps. I try to work with others 24/7 and 2 minutes. And I'm a house manager of a sober living home, and I enjoy being there. And I think they like me. It was pretty good. We got one opening, and I was hoping that they would open up to women, but it's all male. It's all male. And that's my downfall, because, you know, I forgot to mention when I was out there drinking and abusing, I was a great dancer, a super pool shark. I was a great lover. Unfortunately, 95% of the time I went to a bar, I went home alone. That tells me I'm in denial a little bit. Wow. Anyway, seriously, all joking aside, this is a serious thing. It takes a lot of people out. Young, old, middle-aged. There's no distinction. But nobody in here can tell you that you're an alcoholic. Nobody could tell me that I was an alcoholic. I had 1 minute. But I had to, in my heart of hearts, I had to come to the reality that I drank alcoholically, and I couldn't control it. It controlled me. When I wasn't drinking, I was thinking of drinking. And when I was drinking, I wanted more. Like I said, 5% of the time I went to a bar, I went home alone. And then the manly thing, but I'm not going to get into that. Yeah, America's Got Talent. I should be a comedian. But no, seriously, all joking aside, this is a serious disease. Takes a lot of people out. And today I choose to stay in the boat, in the middle of the boat. I don't want to be on the edges and fall out. I want to be in the middle, and I want sobriety. It's not that complicated. It's just stopping drinking. Learn to love yourself and love your partner. Working 24/7, working the steps, doing the traditions, working with others, get a sponsor, read the book, and it goes on and on. I got about 30 seconds. In closing, one alcoholic, like I mentioned, working with another alcoholic is probably the most important, significant part that I believe that one alcoholic working, talking about their experience, strength, and hope, and being honest. It says in the book, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not or will not completely give themselves to this simple program are constitutionally incapable of being honest. I'm the most honest person I know. That's funny. But seriously, about 14 seconds. I heard somebody talk about, several months ago. It says, breathe God in, breathe James out. Just visualize, breathe God in and breathe James out. Because he's the director. He runs the show. But he never gives us more than we can handle. But it takes work. Sitting on my ass, sitting on your ass, osmosis doesn't work. If I was a dry drunk, I'd rather be out there having fun and chasing women. All of the above. I'm not into guys. And it says that resentment is the number one offender. And in closing, all right, let me do this real quick. I got something I was going to read, but I'm running out of time. Page 164. Says, this book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditations what you can do for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your house in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you do not have. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you have found. Join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. And in closing, there were 5 pages I didn't get to. But happy Easter. Thank you.